right, so we are in a brand new series called The Body. When the church started in the very first century after Jesus came and died and was buried and resurrected and went back to heaven, the forming of the church began primarily with Jewish Christians. The Jewish Christians began to go out and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only did other Jews get saved, but many Gentiles got saved. And so now the formation of the church is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, and that created all kinds of tension in the church. I shared a little bit more about that last week. The Lord gave the Apostle Paul a metaphor, a picture of what the church is like in order to teach spiritual truths about what the church is supposed to be. And he said that the church is like the human body. Never heard before. This was a brand new picture for the people of God. The church is like the human body. And so we're in this series, we're talking about what are the comparisons, what are the parallels between the human body and God's intention for the church. 30 times the Apostle Paul calls the church the body or the body of Christ. Today we're going to talk about one aspect of the human body. The human body is an amazing machine. When the human body gets injured or experiences disease, it begins to activate itself to heal itself. Did you know that? The body attempts to bring healing to itself. When we get a surface cut on our skin, when blood vessels are cut, platelets on the inside begin to adhere to the cut artery. And not only do they begin to adhere, but they send out chemicals that begin to attract other platelets to form. Now, fibrin is a protein produced by the human body only when it's bleeding. And fibrin creates a matrix or a net that holds these platelets together and essentially forms a platelet plug to stop the bleeding in that cut. Is that amazing? Like, who thought of that? So we don't bleed out, the body begins to actually heal itself. Now, a fever, it's a common symptom of infection, can leave us feeling achy and hot and miserable, but it actually serves a purpose. A higher body temperature actually accelerates the healing of germ-fighting cells in the body. When your body temperature goes up, the body begins to activate these germ-fighting cells. At the same time, the germs do not reproduce as quickly when the body temperature is higher. So on the one hand, there's more germ-fighting cells at work, and the germs themselves don't multiply. Is that crazy or what? God created us to begin to fight off infection through fevers. You know why we perspire? Do you know why we sweat? Because when we exercise our work, our body temperature begins to get too high, and so we sweat to cool the body down, because spiking your body temperature is not a good thing. It's supposed to kind of be regulated, and sweating regulates your body's temperature. The body's immune system is incredible as well. The body actually attacks viruses, infections, and other bacterial threats to the body. Take a look at this.
The white blood cells are an important part of our body's immune system. Neutrophils are a special group of white blood cells that play an extremely important role in protecting the body against infections. Mature neutrophils do not divide. New neutrophils are constantly formed in the bone marrow where they develop and mature. Mature neutrophils are released into the blood, where they circulate for 3 to 12 hours, and then move to other tissues, where they survive only 2 to 3 days. These mature neutrophils can be found in large and small blood vessels, as well as in the tiny capillaries in different tissues. In the bloodstream, neutrophils act as surveillance cells searching for infections. Neutrophils can sense a site of infection because of chemicals that are released by the bacteria. Upon detecting these chemicals, neutrophils slow down and begin to stick to the walls of the blood vessel. They then squeeze between the cells of the blood vessel wall and enter the infected tissue. Here, the neutrophils crawl towards the infection as they continue following the chemical signals. At the site of infection, bacteria are coated with antibodies of the immune system and marked for ingestion. The neutrophil recognizes the marked bacterium, engulfs it into its body, and traps the bacterium in a sac called a phagosome. The neutrophil contains pouches called lysosomes, which are full of digestive enzymes and chemicals that can kill bacteria. The pouches, or lysosomes, then combine with the phagosomes containing the bacteria and release the enzymes and chemicals, resulting in the ultimate death of the bacterium inside the neutrophil. After killing and digesting the bacteria, the neutrophil is spent. Having completed its duty, the neutrophil shrinks in size and breaks up into smaller pieces that can be recognized and eaten by other cells.
Wait, what? Are you kidding me? Like right now, there's a surveillance team in our bodies searching for infection. And when it finds bacteria, it eats it and eliminates it, and we don't even know. Whoa, who created that? Like, whose idea was that, that the body would be a healing agent for itself? And just like the human body has provisions for healing, so the church is supposed to be a healing community. Did you know that? We are supposed to be like the human body, an organism of healing, not destruction. As you walk away this morning, I just want you to remember that the church is a community of healing. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, is a community of healing. And I want to just share four quick points, if you're taking notes, why the church is a healing community. Why the church is a healing community. Number one is this: God himself is a healer. The very essence and nature of God himself is healing and restoring. God is not a destroyer. God is a healer. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and he, God, said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. I, the Lord, am your healer. Those six words in English, I, the Lord, am your healer, only two in Hebrew. Yahweh, which we usually transliterate into Jehovah, Yahweh Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord who heals. The very essence and nature of God is that he's a healing God. He's a God who restores life and heals sickness. It's one of the Hebrew compound names of God which reflects who he is. It's the nature of God to heal and restore broken people. And his healing is for the whole person, emotional, spiritual, social, and physical. God wants to restore every area of our lives. Psalm 147, verse 3 says that God heals the brokenhearted and he bandages up their wounds. God's concerned about our emotional well-being. Amen. He's concerned about the grief and the sorrow and the mourning that we go through in life because of loss. He's concerned about our mental and emotional and physical and social well-being. He bandages up our wounds. And we know that Jesus Christ is the perfect representation of God in human form. Because in John 1:14, it says that the word in English is the Greek word logos. Logos means the ideal, the perfect expression of, the perfect representation of. The logos, the word, became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a reference to Jesus Christ. The perfect representation, ideal of who God is, became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Whose glory? The glory of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ perfectly replicates the nature of God. He is God himself in the flesh. The writer of Acts, Luke, says that, he says, you know Jesus of Nazareth, how he went about doing good, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You know Jesus of Nazareth. And then he tells us a little bit about him, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Remember, Jesus reveals the very nature of God. By healing people, he revealed the nature of God himself. Now listen, the power to heal flowed so powerfully from Jesus. It was so obvious that the healing virtue of God flowed from him by the numbers of people that he healed and touched, that people tried to just get close enough to him to touch his clothes, to touch his robe. This picture reminds us of that. This woman that wanted to just get close enough to touch the robe of Christ. And Matthew reminds us of this. It says that when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country, and people brought all their sick to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were what? Can you imagine? The power of God to heal flowed so powerfully through Jesus' life. It was so obvious in the way that he touched people and set them free. People thought, if I just get close enough to touch his sweater, I'll be made whole. What if they thought that about the church of Jesus Christ? If I just get close enough to the spiritual body of Jesus on the earth, if I just get close enough to touch the robe of grace and love, I'll be healed. Wouldn't that be amazing? If the world saw the church as a healing community, if I could just get close enough to the gathering of Christians, if I could just touch the robe of grace and healing and love that emanates from the church, I could be changed. I'm not sure that's the picture the world has of the church, though. Do you? Point number two, not only is God a healer, but the healer is present whenever the church gathers. The healer is present whenever the church gathers. The gathering of the body of Jesus, the church, is different than any other social gathering. Because the Holy Spirit not only lives within believers, but Scripture says he lives among us. He walks among us when we gather as Christians, not only in us, but with us and among us. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." What an incredible promise. Whether it's two people gathering in prayer. Now, Christ is always with us, but there's something powerful that's multiplied about the presence of God when more than one Christian get together. Two or three gather in my name. I'm there in the midst. What about when hundreds gather in his name? The anointing and power of Jesus Christ among his gathered people. You see, the healer is present whenever the church gathers. When we went through the Revelation series a few weeks ago, we paused in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and talked about the seven churches of Asia Minor. And Jesus said this in chapter 2, verse 1, "The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand," the seven stars were the seven leaders of the churches. It says Jesus holds the leaders of the churches in his hand. The one who walks among, say walks among. The one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, the seven golden lampstands were the seven churches. Jesus Christ walks among his church right now. The living Christ is gathering with his people as they gather in his name, and he's walking the aisles wanting to touch your life. Amen? Wow. Do you ever think about that? Friends, you don't invite someone to church to hear a sermon, although they'll hear a sermon. You don't invite people to church to sing songs, although we will sing songs. You invite people to church to be powerfully impacted and encountered by the living Jesus Christ who dwells among us. He's walking the aisles, touching lives, encouraging people toward wholeness. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Don't you know, don't you realize that all of you together as Christians are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you," excuse me, "in you? Like the temple in the Old Testament, the building where God chose to dwell, we now are that spiritual temple in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and the Spirit of God dwells within us." Friends, it's almost like we have to ask that question again. Don't you know that you collectively are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God right now is powerfully moving among us, dwelling with us? When you come to church, do you understand that? That the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the healer, is gathered here with us to heal us of our brokenness and our pain. The church is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ on the earth. And I firmly believe that when the church gathers together as the spiritual body of Jesus, that the healing power of Jesus touches people's lives. Last Sunday night, we had one of our reveal services. And in these reveal services, we always take the time to pray for folks that have needs. And so we did this. This is a picture of last Sunday night. People had come forth in response to a word about deep grief, that if they were grieving, that they could come forward and we would pray with them. And essentially, those people that are being prayed for in the middle there are trying to touch the robe of Christ. Amen? They've come to a gathering of believers to be touched by the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. And every week when we come, Christ is here. He's walking among us, and we can reach out and touch the living Jesus because the healer dwells among his people. My only question is, why don't we invite people to church more? You never know what's going to happen. And I know when you invite people, and maybe you have friends here for child dedications or whatever, sometimes we're nervous about how church is going to go. I get text messages all the time. Pastor, my aunt's coming today. You better have your A game, right? Make sure Allison's singing. If my friends come, my family's coming, we want the A game here. How many of you know Pastor Jeff's not the A game? How many of you know Allison's not the A game? How many of you know Jesus is the A game? And as long as Jesus is here walking among the church, the Holy Spirit is moving in power, they are going to be impacted by Christ in a powerful way. You never know what's going to happen. I talk to people who attend the church for the first time. They're not church people, and they sit through the service just weeping. They sit through the service, and what I'm saying may not have anything to do with them, but the Spirit of Christ is touching their life. You don't know what God's going to do when they're in the presence of Christ in the church. Now, we need to be inviting them to our small groups, to our larger group gatherings. We need to be expecting God to do incredible things through people when they are among the people of God. Everywhere Jesus went, people brought the sick and the broken to be touched by him. And we can do the same thing. We can invite them to touch Christ as the church gathers together, because the church is a community of healing. Point number three, the church is a healing community because the cross is the source of human healing. The cross is the source of human healing. There's healing in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, healing is part of salvation. Now, I want to say this up front because many of us have an understanding about the cross that's true but only partial. What's true is that at the cross of Jesus Christ, when he died for us, the possibility that our sin could be forgiven is now realized in Jesus. Our sin can be forgiven. And when our sin is forgiven and removed from us, we can be brought back into a relationship with God, and we can have eternal life, meaning we get to live with God forever. And some of us limit salvation to the forgiveness of sin, to reconciliation with God. And that's a key foundational part of the atonement, the work of Jesus on the cross, is that our sin is forgiven, we have a relationship with God, and we get to go to heaven. But friends, it's much more than that. There is wholeness and healing through the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 is a prophecy about the crucifixion, about the Messiah suffering on the cross. And here's what it says about the Messiah. Surely our griefs, the word is literally sickness, our sickness he himself bore, and our sorrows, literally pains, the pains that accompany the difficulty of life. Surely our sorrows, our sickness, and our pains he carried. Let that sink in for a moment. At the cross, he carried sickness and he carried pain. The writer says, we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God. The Jews thought Jesus was cursed because he was dying a criminal's death. But he goes on and says, but Jesus was pierced through. He was crucified for our transgressions or sins. He was crushed. He was killed for our iniquities. The chastening, the punishment for our well-being, the word is wholeness. The suffering for our wholeness fell upon him, and by his scourging, his suffering, we are healed. Now, the writer could have said, we are forgiven. The writer could have said, by the suffering of Jesus, our sins are washed away. He didn't say that. It's a bigger picture here than just forgiveness. It's healing. and healing reflects wholeness. The wholeness of humanity began at the cross of Jesus Christ, amen? Wholeness emotionally, wholeness socially, wholeness spiritually, and wholeness physically. See, sin brings brokenness. It breaks humanity. It breaks our relationship with God. It breaks us in ourselves, and it breaks us in terms of relationship with other people. But the cross brings healing to the brokenness that's caused by sin. It's more than reconciliation with God. By his stripes, we are healed, not only forgiven. Matthew says it this way, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick in bed with a fever. Jesus touched her hand and the fever left. She got up and waited on him, and when evening came, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. What's happening in this text? People spiritually afflicted with demon oppression came to Jesus and he set them free. People that had every manner of physical sickness and disease came to Jesus, and it says he healed all who were ill. And then in verse 17 it says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet in the verse that we just read about the cross. The healing of people through casting out demons, the spiritual afflictions, and the physical healing was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, that he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. The cross is about wholeness for human brokenness. Okay, you're already thinking, everybody's not healed, Jeff. What does this name it? Claim it? We just claim the cross and we're healed? No, no, no. You are right that it won't be until the kingdom of God is established in the earth in its fullness that everybody will be made whole completely. But shouldn't the process begin of wholeness at salvation? Shouldn't we move closer to being a whole person from the moment we know Jesus Christ and experience the cross till we die? And all of us are going to die physically at some point, so we're not going to be healed to the point where we don't die of something. But shouldn't we grow in emotional wholeness if we know Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we grow in spiritual wholeness if we know Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we become more whole as people if we know Jesus Christ? I honestly believe that we should. When the cross is embraced, healing is possible. It's not mandatory, and perfect healing doesn't happen every time, but it's certainly possible, and we should be praying toward that end. Amen? Praying toward the fullness of the cross to be demonstrated in our lives, even if it's not this life, but the next life, still in this life. Having our sin forgiven by God is only the first step leading to human wholeness. Salvation has to do with restored wholeness for humanity. To say that Jesus forgives my sin but fails to heal my brokenness is to cheapen the cross. It's to dilute the cross, to say that it's only spiritual in nature. And here's what I believe, that the salvation of the cross not only delivers us from hell when we die, but it should deliver us from the hell that we're living in right now. Yes, we have eternal life. Yes, because of the forgiveness of sin, we are going to be delivered from hell. We're going to go to heaven and be with God forever. What about the hell that's caused by sin right now? Shouldn't we be set free from the hell we're living through right now? Didn't Jesus die for that? I think he did. I think he wants to put us back together as people. I think that the cross is the healing agent in our lives that sets us free. The cross is the source of human healing. It says that he took our infirmities. He carried our disease. What are you carrying today that Jesus needs to help carry? What weakness and infirmity, what brokenness in your life does the cross need to bring restoration and healing to in your life? Point number four, God calls each member to be an agent of healing. God calls each member of the body of Christ to be an agent of healing. I want to say this, we're going to read a text here. But God, just like the human body, there are certain parts of the body that respond, that are activated to heal when disease or infection sets in, right? Every part of the body doesn't do that, but there are some parts that are healing agents, right? Or activated. And there are some gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives to certain people in the body that they have a ministry of healing, whether it's emotional healing like a counselor or physical healing or spiritual healing or something along those lines. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, to each one, to each member of the church, the body of Christ is given the manifestation or the evidence of the Holy Spirit for the good of the church. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. That's plural, gifts of healing. To another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. There is a plurality of healing gifts that God distributes in the body to people. Some people have this unique ability to counsel and to heal people that are going through emotional difficulties. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, Allison singing this morning, the book of Isaiah says that God gives us the mantle or the anointing of praise for the spirit of heaviness or depression or grief. But think about that, the mantle of praise for the spirit of depression. And that was true in King David's life. Do you remember the story of King Saul who was depressed? He would call for David. David would come and play his instrument, play his harp, and sing worship songs. And in the presence of that praise, the heaviness of Saul was lifted. Praise has a delivering effect upon darkness and depression in people's lives. And I think people like Allison are gifted to sing songs that lift people out of darkness. I had someone come up after the service and say, I just texted my friend because Allison was singing today. Like there's something about this gifting and anointing that can break darkness in people's lives. Everybody, I wish I had that gift, could sing like that and have that anointing to bring healing in people. Everybody doesn't have that, but some do, right? And other people have the anointing to help people walk through addictions and bondages. They can deliver people. Not everybody has those giftings, right? But every member of the body of Christ is called to pray for the sick and the wounded. We are called to be agents of healing through prayer and ministry, whether we have the gift of healing or not. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much. So we are to pray for one another for the healing virtue of Jesus to flow in their lives. And the context there is certainly when the church gets together, confess your sins to one another and then pray for one another, probably talking about Christians primarily. I think this needs to go beyond the church though. I think this willingness to pray for and extend the healing of Jesus should go beyond the four walls of the church. It should go into the marketplace. It should go onto school campuses. It should go into your neighborhood. In other words, when you come across sick people that are in need of healing in the name of Jesus, you ought to be the one that prays. Amen. You are an agent of healing. You should pray a prayer of faith that God would heal that person, that God would restore them. Every week, wounded people walk through the doors of this church desperately needing healing and restoration. Sin brings brokenness. And I would go so far as to say there's not just some people that walk through these doors broken. Everybody walks through broken. You are not perfectly whole emotionally. There are things that you're dealing with in your life. There are areas that you need to be made whole. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional. But every week, people walk through these doors with PTSD, bound, afflicted with the need to be set free. People that have wounds from marriage, deep wounds from a past divorce, or physical problems, or scars from sexual abuse, or grief from loss. There are people that walk in that have experienced bullying during the week and are broken down. Look down the aisles. These people are sitting around you right now that walk through these doors. You don't know it because there's a smile on their face and they're masking it. They're masking their brokenness. But everybody walks in here with some level of pain and brokenness that needs the touch of Christ in their life. People that struggle with addictions every week, people that struggle with depression and anxiety disorders, no one walks into the church whole. We have better days than others, amen, and that's good news. But there are weeks that we need to be the one that says, Lord, it's me today. I need prayer and I need the ministry of the cross, the healing power of Jesus. The church is a community of healing. And we're trying at Central to become more of a community of healing. And so we have put together a prayer altar ministry team called Frontline Ministry. And beginning in January, they're going to be available every week. Some of them are going to be available today. For those of you that would just like some prayer, when we sing this closing song, we're going to invite you to come. If you need prayer today, please don't hesitate. Don't worry about walking out of an aisle. No one's going to care. You can come down and receive some prayer for something in your life that you need ministry towards. We have life groups that from kids all the way through adults. Life groups are the primary place where this prayer and this healing and this ministry ought to be taking place, where you gather weekly or biweekly with people that love you and care about you and will pray. Well, they will be the body of Christ to you that you can touch and receive healing from. As I mentioned, every month or two we have reveal nights where we worship together and then we take time to pray for people to be healed. If any of you would ever like the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and pray a prayer of faith over you, they are always available to do that. Call the church office. We will schedule that with you. We're trying to become more of a community of healing. What's your part in that? Will you join us? Will you join us in praying for people? Will you join us in inviting people to this? Will you join us in using your gifts to build the body up and be an agent of healing? May Jesus not only bring the forgiveness of sin in our lives, but the restoration of life. May we experience the power of the healer as he gathers with us. May we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. And may people touch the robe of grace and love that covers the body of Christ and be transformed. Amen. God bless you today.